really what I'm going to talk about today. I just realized that as we were chanting, it's like, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the sentient and insentient. I just returned from Sesshin at Great Vow Zen Monastery, and it's the Grasses, Trees, and Great Earth Sesshin, which we do every year at around this time. And the weather was amazing. After all of the heat, just for the duration of Sesshin, it was like perfect. Mm-hmm. Very comfortable, very lovely. We use Dogen Zenji's fascicle, "In Sentient Beings Speak Dharma." A fascicle is an essay, basically. That's what we call the things that Dogen Zenji wrote, his fascicles. Kind of an old-fashioned word. It's a lovely word, fascicle. A doing, something done. And this fascicle renewed my appreciation for the importance of the teaching of sentient and insentient. Insentient beings speak Dharma. So we had wonderful weather. We had most of the nights and days meditating in the field, the meadow, at the edge of the alderwood, the forest. And being with all of the sentient and insentient beings and bringing into awareness that this division too, sentient, insentient, is really just provisional. It has no actual reality when we begin to think about what is sentient, what is insentient. When we hang out with all those beings in the forest, clearly there's a sentiency there. When we settle our very busy, loud human minds down, there is much direct communication that goes on. So during these days in silence, we were free to. It was our work, it was our job to be afraid, to be attuned to sunlight and breeze and birds and the airplanes that passed overhead and the cars passing on the road below and the bees, dogs barking, the cows mooing. Is a pasture at the bottom of that valley, just as it leads toward the Columbia River. It's filled with cows, and they're often carrying on in various ways. It's kind of amusing. And also the clack of the eating bowls and utensils during meal, the bell calling us to return to the zendo, were some of the speech that was obvious once we got real quiet ourselves. And at night, the kind of the ringing silence of the cool night air and the voice of the owls, the coyotes, barking dogs, the almost voice of a vast expanse of sky filled with stars and planets, all shared every single moment and contributed to the life of it. Our own human vitality is made up of all of this, moment by moment. So to say insentient is really to exclude the life of most of what makes up our life. The life, the functioning, how it shows up in its various forms, how it speaks. How does this floor speak? Our conventional human minds, when we say, how is it speaking? Well, it doesn't speak, it just lies there. How does it speak? How does it function? How does it occur in our sensorium? All sights and sounds and smells and tastes and feels of the insentient are speaking. How is the heat speaking. The poet Octavio Paz says it this way: entering it, you enter yourself, and the world connects and closes like a ring. This ring of this moment, this infinite ring, the circle of breath, time, awareness, sentient, insentient, animate, inanimate, always rounding upon itself, always as one in this world of Dharma. The Dharma, rarely encountered even in hundreds of thousands of millions of ages, just waking up to this. The Dharma is the spiritual world, really, recognizing the completeness of everything, the oneness of everything. And this is what we do when we're practicing, as people of the way, every moment of the day, right? Maybe, if we remember. Not always. But this is the practice of intimacy. Intimacy with all things, whether we notice it or not. So you might have been sitting here in Zazen, initially quite present, and then slowly drifting off into some stream of thought, planning, remembering, worrying. All the while, all things sentient and sentient were also occurring, even out of our awareness. There's this line in one of the koans: some may realize it and some may not. Sometimes we realize it and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're stopped in our tracks by a particular moment as it presents itself. And very often we're not. We're just in our conventional, same old kind of a state of mind. So all things have their own light, their own voices, their own ways of expressing themselves, their nature. How does the pavement speak? How does the coffee cup speak? So we're talking when we talk about the insentient, we're talking about natural beings, which maybe to everybody here is not a new thought. Maybe everybody here is very aware when you're outside a building, how everything is breathing and moving and responding and showing up. But also the manufactured landscape, speaking all the time, continually. So sentient, the concept sentient and insentient, is another example of opposites, which we chant the identity of opposites in our chanting service today. We need to be careful about this mind of opposites, this mind of opposition, of taking one thing as opposed to something else that we say is its opposite. Sometimes that's useful, but only in a very provisional way. But we run the risk of mistaking a concept for the thing itself. So insentient, I'd say this is insentient, but listen to it. That's in response to sentient. Coming together at the same time. We distinguish those that have the same senses as we do. Eyes, ears, nose, skin, mind, from those that don't. But to ignore the voice of earth, water, fire, air, metal, wood, plastic, polyester, we do this at our peril. What is the styrofoam saying as it swirls in the gyres in the ocean, the gyres that are the size of Texas, and they exist in all the world's oceans now. All of this stuff, this manufactured landscape, is joining the ocean now and affecting all of the natural creatures. All animate and inanimate that make up the world of form is speaking. So here Dogen says, whenever and wherever Dharma exists, it is spoken. When the great road is complete, speaking Dharma is complete. When a flower is held up, speaking Dharma is held up. So it's important to know what we mean when we say Dharma, what Dharma refers to. Buddha Dharma, the Dharma of the Buddha. Capital D Dharma, when it occurs with a capitalization, is the laws that govern the universe, the natural way that things work. And it's also applied to the teachings of the Buddha and all the Buddhas since the Buddha, all the awakened ones since the Buddha and the commentaries. So the official teachings and the words about, oddly enough. Small D Dharma refers to phenomena, all the material and immaterial forms that make up our world. So things like tools, furniture, books, words, food, drink, and also thoughts and emotions and ideas and fantasies and plans and social status, visual arts, music, medicines, freeway, and last but not least, this me that feels so real and absolute. Everything that I think myself to be, all the names that I call myself, you know, the official names, Abby or Mushin, teacher, mother, therapist, all of our roles, the ways that we function, that we identify with, the body attributes that we identify with, that's all Dharma, all phenomena, which are all impermanent and codependently arising. They're all dependent on conditions of other things coming together. Whenever and wherever Dharma exists, it is spoken. So why is it important to be looking at this? Why do we care about thinking about the sentient and insentient? When we practice Zen meditation, investigation, moment-by-moment presence, we begin to discern minutely the nature of all phenomena. I just went to the to Garland's the other day and got a whole bunch of fall flowers that I put in pots. And I noticed this morning when I was out watering around my yard that they were speaking. They were saying, don't just water the way you usually water. Come up close and put water right down into the roots for me, please. It was so obvious. I looked more closely. I wasn't just doing my usual thing, and it was clear what I needed to do. That's just one of a million examples. So another aspect of this sentient and insentient consideration is about caring. You know, the precepts that we practice are all about caring. Noticing and caring. Noticing and coming into relationship. Not overlooking. So when we're talking about hearing the speech of the infinite dharmas, of all phenomena, we're talking about really caring about every single aspect of our life and not leaving anything out. when we can notice it, really being awake. It's another reason why it's so wonderful to have this method of looking through all the things that keep us from being really present, because then we can pay attention as we need to. Considering the life of all things, not just taking anything for granted. So there's this wonderful poem by William Carlos Williams. I think I use it often. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow sitting glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens. So much depends. So the conventional mind says, well, what depends upon it? You know, just some dirt that I'm going to fling into the garden now and again. The whole moment of that particular moment of life, this particular moment of life, everything depends on it. There is nothing without it. So, of course, this brings to mind the folks in Houston, where, imagine, everything swept away, everything. You grab your kids, you grab your pets. Maybe you get your shoes on, maybe not. Well, everything's gone. All of the thing, and the other thing that's gone is not knowing what you can expect to happen. You know, today you're in a shelter with 1,000. Can you imagine the smell in the Houston Dome? What that must smell like? Do they have showers in the dome? I don't know. But once you're there, what's going to happen after this? Is your job still there? Is it going to be waiting for? I mean, you just don't even know. It's all out of our control, out of their control. In northern India, likewise, although there were a whole lot more deaths. I heard that in Nepal, 80% of the crops were wiped out by the floods. Mm-hmm. We take so much for granted. So the consequences of listening and not listening to the voices of the insentient are far-reaching. Not only can we miss out on our whole life, all of the richness of our life, when we're not noticing, but we also cannot correctly align with our circumstances. We can't choose to behave in ways that create well-being and happiness and goodness. And know that we always have a choice. When we get submerged in our ideas about, become mired in complications and anxiety, and we can create so much harm and difficulty for ourselves and for others. We have lots of public demonstrations of this at the moment, maybe always, and we need to look at our own behaviors too. Dogen's urging us to consider whether you're living in a true way consistent with being sentient, or whether you have a way to go on living according to blocking out a lot of being sentient. You know, we call ourselves, we are sentient beings, but how sentient are we if we take a look at the world? How sentient actually are we? So this is really a central question right now, and something to become so aware of, close up and at a distance. We can examine this as it relates to us personally and also as a society. I'm reading several books right now by Ken Wilber. I recommend. One of them is Trump in a Post-Truth World, and it's not anti-Trump, which is very refreshing. it's much more looking at how we need to completely, really decenter from all of our reactivity and start looking directly at what we need to do. It's so easy to put all of our energy into reactivity and condemnation. But way more needed is to say, we need to be as sentient as we are capable of being. And this may be the very thing that points this out to all of us and gets us ready to open to very different ways of organizing ourselves collectively. Because we're all caught up in the suffering that's being enacted. No matter what your opinions are, opinions and reactivity is a profound state of suffering. So how aware are you of how you use the insentient and what it's telling you? How much care and attention do you take with each of the elements in your life? And I want to ask everybody to consider your carelessness ratio. I can check into mine. There are so many instances every day of carelessness. Taking things for granted. So enlightenment is only as good as its enactment. Or as Dogen has said, enlightenment must function, otherwise it's just another idea. We're not doing this practice for more ideas. In the last couple of years, we've been hard at developing Sangha Jewel Zen Center. As we located the property and began the process of transforming it into a Zen center, we've moved from acting according to our ideas about how it should go, our fantasies, our many fantasies, to responding to the actual conditions that we have to address in order to bring forward Sangha Jewel Zen Center. There's no avoiding having to respond to everything, specifically all of the dharmas. So the city zoning regulations and building codes speak voluminously of small d dharmas. 5 inches thick code book. Then working with the agreements with the sellers of the property brought us into directly working with each other and our various conditions and needs and thoughts about as we collaborated and envisioned together and negotiated our agreement of sale. Our Sangha functioning became larger and also now includes the city officials and the zoning board who we're going to see face to face on Wednesday. And all of our interests need to come into alignment. We need to attend to all of the dharmas so that we can realize our Zen center. And there's no realizing it without everybody being benefited. There's no winning or losing here. We all win. But we could, and maybe we started out with an us versus them attitude about all of this, which ignored the truth of our interdependent functioning. And we could have created a lot more problems for ourselves and greatly diminished the Sangha. But Zen is very practical, and we recognize that we need to put into practice everything that we are practicing, we're studying, we're talking about. Because the actual Zen center is synergistic. It's a synergy of sentient and insentient. beyond, it's beyond sentient and insentient in a way that resonates with all of it and brings forth the life of everything about it. So synergy, of course, is pointing to the outcome is greater than the sum of its parts. And we're looking at, with the Zen Center, we're looking at a building, but way more, we're looking at the Sangha jewel, the Sangha of practice people, and all the community that serves and receives this kind of wheel of giving, receiver, and gift that we're part of. And as Dharma practitioners, this is our contribution to the well-being of the whole community. How we carry on, how we behave in the community. So Octavio Paz, again, he's a very subtle poet. This is how he says this: "The circular afternoon is now a bay where the world in stillness rocks." Where the world in stillness rocks. What a sentence that is. What an image. It taps into a lot of the teachings simultaneously. But what I want to say is, may our Sangha Jewel Zen Center rock. So always we can either be caught in dichotomy or free ourselves. There's always this opportunity to free ourselves from dualism, from separation, and recognize the entirety of how everything works together. All things work together. Even challenging times, difficult weather, all of it works together. Dogen says a little in somewhere else in this fascicle, "Do not think that Buddha ancestors alone have brought forth speaking Dharma. Speaking Dharma has brought forth Buddha ancestors. We respond to the world. This is not separate. This is not special. This is not other than. It's very ordinary once it is seen. All of the teachings themselves will not bring forth our life. Only directly living according with the true way that things are brings forth unlimited liveliness. We don't practice to bring forth our life. Our life shows us practice in every moment. With every form it includes, every sound, every smell that hangs in the air, every sight that gladdens or disturbs us, every thought that distracts or comments or envisions, all the voices of the Dharma. The quality of air, last night it was astounding. You know, we started out in the morning, it was fresh and kind of clear and you can see the blue sky, and then this pall of smoke from the fires in Southern Oregon moved in. That was, I don't know about you, but it brought up something in me that's inarticulate, because it's so, it was so absolutely there, there's nothing to be done about it. And it was odd. It was alarming. Whenever and wherever Dharma exists, it is spoken. It's only in the particulars of today and tomorrow and right now that we are alive. Only in the particulars, or as William Carlos Williams has said, no ideas but in things. No life but in things, material and immaterial. Awareness always has an object. So we say, be aware of the breath. Breath is the object of awareness. Be aware of thoughts. Thoughts are object of awareness. Be aware of awareness. Well, can you be aware of awareness? Then awareness becomes an object of awareness. Or we ask, who is aware? Which is an important practice. Who is aware? Then who becomes the object of awareness that we can really look at? Because there's such a distinct sense of who, of me, right? So there's always an object of awareness. I'd like to finish with this poem that points to the particulars, the minutest of details, the minutest of dharmas, the minutest of insentient. This is by Rumi. A rider goes by, but his dust of passing hangs in the air. Look down this road through the particles. Look down this road through the particles to infinity. A rider goes by, but his dust of passing hangs in the air. Look down this road through the particles to infinity. May we all look down, look through, look within, look around, look under, look above, all the particles, all the articles, all the forms and the formless, and appreciate the Dharma in its full liveliness. Thank you.
Please turn to page 5 of your chant books.